This is Golf Talk Canada, Canada's only national golf talk radio and TV program. Presented by TaylorMade. Golf has a new game-changing number. Experience TaylorMade speed with the forgiveness of 10K inertia with the all-new QI 10 Max. Only from TaylorMade. Visit TaylorMadeGolf.ca to learn more about the QI 10 Carbon Woods. Now, here are your hosts, Mark Sacchino, Bob Weeks, and Adam Scully.
Well, good morning, Canada. Welcome inside Golf Talk Canada. Adam Scully here in studio for another Wednesday edition of GTC and our first radio to TV of 2024. And you'll notice the different date. We've been on Mondays in years past, but now radio to TV Wednesdays leading into some of the bigger tournaments. Of course, one of them being the Players' Championship this week. As we always do on these Wednesday shows, we'll take a look at this week on the PGA Tour, a lot from a betting perspective. We'll look at the FanDuel odds, some of the favorites, where Scottie Scheffler, the overwhelming betting favorite right now at plus 550. All of the Canadians in the field, too, going to be a super fun show. A lot of guests joining us today, as per usual. Bob Weeks from TPC Sawgrass. Graham Dillette, also from TPC Sawgrass. Michael the Hound Dog Harrison a little later in the show to take a look at the betting perspective too. But first, now joining us on the line, he'll be with us for the first hour here on GTC, is Mark Sacchino. Z, what's going on?
It's a beautiful day here, Skulls, at the stadium course. I think we're going to hit a high today of about 25 degrees Celsius. It's a mix of sun and cloud. And every day is going to get hotter than the day before. I'm in the TV compound right now. Just arrived on property. I was here yesterday. I did a full scouting mission of the golf course yesterday. It looks absolutely fantastic. I'm so excited that we don't have rain this year, Scully, because you know how much more fun this course plays with a hop and a bounce. We might get that bounce and hop on the weekend, which is going to make this just so much better. And I've got to track down our defending champion when I sign off with you at the bottom of the hour. I got to go find Scottie Scheffler and get some of his thoughts for our PGA Tour radio coverage and see how he's feeling. My guess, Adam, he is glowing with confidence after last week.
I'm guessing he's certainly glowing with confidence as well. And we are going to take a deep dive into Scottie Scheffler in our next segment with the new putter that he put in the bag last week, that mallet style of putter. And at plus 550, like I mentioned, the overwhelming betting favorite. But let's start things off with some news and some headlines.
News and headlines are brought to you by Sandbagger Hard Seltzer. Sandbagger, everybody knows one.
Well, Mark, first things first, as per usual, Tuesday, Players' Championship week, 11 a.m. Eastern. That's when PGA Tour Commissioner Jay Monahan spoke with the media. And this was highly anticipated, given what we all went through June 6th of 2023. Don't have to tell you, Mark, we were live on radio to TV together when the big merger news went down. So my first question to you about this, were you in the room when Commissioner Jay Monahan was speaking?
No, I chose to not go this year. I was there last year. I just watched it live on my phone from the TV compound. I had some things I needed to do over this way for our coverage yesterday, but I did watch all of it and from the start to the finish. And I kind of got what we expected, Scully. I remember you, Bob, and I on Monday were talking, you know, is he going to say some earth-shattering piece of information that's going to change the way we look and feel about, you know, where we're at in the state of the universe, or it's going to be very safe. We're going to position the Players' Championship front and center and kind of keep hammering the note that, listen, this week my focus is on this championship, this celebration, the flagship event of the tour, et cetera. And I think that's kind of mostly what we got yesterday. Now, a couple of things that kind of leaped out at me, and I'd love to get your opinion on this stuff as well. These are the things that caught my attention as you're going through the weeds. We're in talks. They are accelerating. I thought that was a good sign. If anybody is at the position that I'm at currently right now where they just want this over and done with, the fact that they're in talks and accelerating, that's a good thing. I found it interesting that he alluded to, subtly suggested that you're not going to be able to do a deal where everyone is going to be happy. That, to me, kind of led me to believe, Adam, that, you know, they're probably working on things like what's the penalty, what's the compensation for guys to come back to the tour, for guys who didn't take the money, i.e. a Rory, et cetera. Some people are going to be happy. Some people, not so much with the level of penalty or level of compensation, et cetera. I kind of thought that was very interesting. And then the other thing that I thought was very interesting was the no answer, or the kind of dance around no answer to, you know, at any point during this process. Did it get to a stage where someone was calling for your resignation or calling for resignations of other board members and directors? And at that point, we kind of got the no answer. And I thought that said a lot. The no answer kind of says a lot of where we were at. You know, if we go back to the Canadian Open that you mentioned, and then the days and weeks to come after it. So for me, those leaped out at me. What came out for you? What stood out for you? And do you agree with my take that, you know, am I reading those little tidbits or sound bites accurately?
Yeah, I think you're reading them accurately for sure. And we've seen in past weeks some players saying, well, the PGA Tour doesn't really need the PIF, the Public Investment Fund. Well, Commissioner Jay Monahan essentially squashed those, saying we are still in negotiations. He didn't get into the negotiations, which definitely wasn't surprising. It is a negotiation. He doesn't want to negotiate through the media. I'm not sure, Mark, if surprise is the right word, that when Jay Monahan said that he went to Saudi Arabia to meet with Yasser Al-Rumayyan, which, I mean, to me, that was news that he actually traveled all the way to Saudi Arabia. Were you surprised by that?
A little bit. To be honest with you, you got to be very careful out here. You know, when you're out here, Adam, as much as I am, week in and week out, there's a lot of stories that you get. And there are a lot of rumors and information that you hear from multiple sources. And you really got to kind of go through the weeds as to what's just rumor and what's garbage. But I have heard on multiple sources that some of Yasser's higher-ups, let's put this politically correct, softly suggested that he shouldn't be leaving the country, and they didn't want him traveling. You got to remember, there are some other legal actions going on, some of which are in Canadian courts, inside the boundaries, geographical boundaries of Canada, where he is being brought up in a lawsuit against the former head of what the Saudi Arabia FBI or CIA is, like their version of that. And it's an ugly lawsuit, and the allegations are scary. And I have been told from multiple people that because of those allegations and because of that court suit, that it kind of grounded him for a while. He wasn't really allowed to get out there and be an international global traveler, so to speak. So if those rumors are true, and again, they're just rumors, but if those rumors are true, or there's an ounce of truth to those rumors, then it kind of makes sense, if you start to connect the dots, that Monahan would have to go to him to have that negotiation and have that meeting in person, and that, you know, a neutral ground or something in America wasn't going to work. So maybe there's more going on here through other legal problems that are currently going on. And maybe some of these rumors and these stories that I'm getting down here on the ground are true. I guess at the end of the day, from a golf perspective, all we care about is that, hey, they met, they talked. Let's just get there. The sooner we get this out of the way, Adam, the better for me. I don't know where you're at, but I hope that come the PGA Championship, which is in May, that we are having more of a conversation about, hey, the penalties, the new rules, what the new schedule looks like, those types of things, as opposed to, hey, we've got another new deadline and they're still talking. Like, if we get to the PGA Championship and you and I are having the same conversation we're having right now, I mean, that's just, I just think it's demoralizing. Like, guys, it's time to either, you know, get on the same page and do this, or everybody go back to their corners and everybody run their own tour and let's forget this. And like, at this point, enough is enough.
Totally. Enough is enough. And Mark, we are a golf show. So I don't know about you, but I love talking about golf shots, about short game, about guys hitting bombs off the tee, not talking about negotiations and if something will happen and if something this, if they negotiate well. I want to talk about golf. And this is obviously, this has gone on way too long. Last year, they gave the what we thought was the deadline of New Year's Eve. Well, that came and went. This is just going on and on and on. When will this end? There's really, in my mind, it seems like things are accelerating as per Commissioner Jay Monahan. But I don't know. I don't really see this coming to a conclusion anytime soon. That's at least what I got from what Commissioner Jay Monahan said on Tuesday. If we're talking about different things by the PGA Championship, honestly, Mark, to me, that's a win.
Yeah, but I think we're at the point now where we need to start getting some wins because, to your point, this is the this is like NHL trade deadline that never ends. You know, I mean, it's like we're going to talk about trades and we're going to talk about what ifs and possible this and possible moves and signing of this free agent, and it's great for 48 hours. And then guess what? Everybody looks back on the ice and says, okay, can the Leafs get out of the first round this year? Can they go deeper? You know, do you like the move? Do you like this? We're at the trade deadline and free agent frenzy that's been going on now for like 2 years, it feels like. Instead of talking about, you know, power plays and weaknesses on defense, we're still talking about, you know, all the stuff that happens off the ice. That's the kind of correlation it feels like. And I just... For me, I'm with you. I'm over it. And the one thing, I'm going to screw up the actual quote, but right off the top, Jay Monahan said yesterday, you know, to quiet the noise, he gave us that update right off the top. And in order to quiet the noise, I'd like to tell you that, you know, we're talking, talks are accelerating, and we're still moving towards a deal that is good for, you know, the sport of golf as a whole. So he did that right out of the gates yesterday to kind of diffuse the whole thing and say, you know, here's the quick update. Here's the mini victory you guys are all kind of looking for, yada, yada, yada. That's great, but now we need to find – I'm with you. I mean, enough's enough. That there has to be more. So the next time we hear from them – now, originally, I don't know if this still stands, but if you recall, when they extended the December 31st deadline, the announcement came with, and we hope to have an agreement or an announcement for you by the Masters. That's what they said when they pushed the goalposts. Well, the Masters is what? 4 weeks away? So in 4 weeks away, if we're going to hold them to their word, then we're going to expect more information and something that is an announcement that is closer to an agreement by the time we get to Augusta. So if that's the case, then by the time we get to the PGA, you're right. We should be having those conversations. By the time we get to the PGA, we're going to need to be talking about, hey, do you think the penalty was stern enough for the guys that want to come back and play? Or do you think the compensation to the Rory McIlroys and the Jordan Spieths and the Justin Thomases of the world you know, is going to be suffice to quiet the noise and allow these two entities to move forward? And so we better be having those conversations by the PGA, or all these dates, and every time they push the goalposts, it really means nothing. So, there, again, credibility right now is a huge problem. It has been for over a year. They need to start winning some of that credibility back.
Yeah, and you would hope if there is an announcement, call it around the Masters, that hopefully that doesn't take away from what the golf on the actual course is that week, and that is the history, that is the Masters, whether it's the Masters, whether it's the PGA Championship. Let's hope that this storyline doesn't override what will be going on in the pursuit of a major championship that particular week. One final question on this before we actually talk about golf in our next segment. Of course, many of the players were asked about Commissioner Jay Monahan and whether they can trust him. Xander Schauffele was quoted as saying Jay Monahan has a long way to go. Rory McIlroy a couple hours ago said Jay Monahan is the right guy, and look at some of the things he's done in the past in terms of getting through the pandemic, media rights, etc. My question to you, Mark, and this might be a tough one, should the players trust Jay Monahan?
It is a tough one, and you know, I'm not close enough to the room, I don't think, to be able to answer that question. I think he needs to do some work. I just suggested that credibility is an issue right now with all parties involved. So I think he definitely needs to do some work to gain trust back and to get that credibility back. I will say this though, personally, I'm a huge fan of Jay Monahan personally, and I do believe his intent, Adam. If you believe that intent is important, then I do believe that Jay Monahan's intentions are good. He's a good man, and he's done a lot of great work. And I would, if you pulled every single PGA Tour player and every single media source and every media partner that the PGA Tour has and sponsor that the PGA Tour has, and if you had to ask them pre-Saudi Arabia, pre-public investment fund, their opinions on Jay Monahan, I mean, he would have got a 10 out of 10 across the board. The way he ushered the tour through the pandemic, the way he kept sponsors on board, the way he kept the game moving forward. I mean, he was kind of beloved by everybody and got a 10 out of 10. So let's not forget the work he did and the person he is prior to being attacked by a dictatorship that was only in this to disrupt the game and to basically fund a personal vendetta by Greg Norman. If Greg Norman doesn't have an evil dictator funding his personal vendetta, think of how good where we are right now and the way we're still talking about Jay Monahan. So do I still think he's the guy for the job? I definitely think he's the guy for the job for one of those jobs. I don't know if he's the guy for both of them. Remember, he's going to be commissioner now of PGA Tour Enterprises. And if he's going to be commissioner or, board of director, be the head of the board of directors for PGA Tour Enterprise, does he need to be the commissioner of the PGA Tour, which is underneath that umbrella? I don't know. Maybe those are two different positions, and maybe it's time to put a former player, as the head of the commissioner of the PGA Tour, so the players feel they have a voice at the top. I think it might be too much for Jay if he's going to try to do both.
Well, it continues to be a moving target. What I can say for sure is that Bob is going to be speaking with Commissioner Jay Monahan one-on-one, and we'll have that interview next week on both Golf Talk Canada television and radio. Well, this is leg one of our triple header today across the TSN network. We're on from now until noon right here on the TSN radio network and TSN 2, 1 p.m. TSN 5, 5 p.m. on TSN 2. When we come back here on GTC, we'll take a look at Scottie Scheffler, the overwhelming pre-tournament betting favorite at plus 550 on FanDuel. This is Golf Talk Canada.
This segment of GTC was presented by TaylorMade and the new QI10 Carbon Woods. Experience TaylorMade speed with the forgiveness of 10K inertia with the all-new QI10 Max. Only from TaylorMade. This is Golf Talk Canada, presented by TaylorMade. This segment of GTC is brought to you by Movember, the official men's health partner of Golf Talk Canada. You can get involved and help change the face of men's health by visiting Movember.com today.
So excited about our new partnership with Movember. Welcome back inside Golf Talk Canada. Adam Scully here in studio. Mark Sacchino on the phone still as we preview the Players' Championship this week from TPC Sawgrass. And Mark, before we get to world number one, Scottie Scheffler, who is trying to win back-to-back weeks and defend his title, what's the feeling like on the grounds right now? Obviously, we have called this for years the strongest field in golf, but three of the last five major champions aren't currently there as they are playing on LIV. So overall, what's the overall sense right now at TPC Sawgrass?
I think the TPC Sawgrass is actually a nice little micro kind of picture of what the entire golf world is right now. So is it the strongest field in the world of golf still? Yes, 100% it is. Is it still golf's greatest stadium golf course? Yes, 100% it is. But it's not as strong as it was last year. It wasn't as strong as it was the year before. So just like everything else in the world of golf, LIV hasn't won anything. LIV hasn't achieved anything unless you consider just damaging the tour and damaging the game as an achievement. So their wins are, in my opinion, and I think, the TV numbers and the interest in LIV Golf support this opinion, their wins are celebrating the losses of the PGA Tour. So I think everybody here still thinks they are playing in the number one field of the year that the golf world is going to see. There are no ceremonial starts here. There are no amateurs. There are no past winners from 20 years ago. There are no open qualifiers. This is the top players on the PGA Tour, full stop. And I think everybody still has that feeling. It's kind of like everything else, and similar to what you were just talking about when we get to Augusta, Adam, and you're suggesting how, you know, if an announcement does come out that week, you hope it doesn't overshadow the major championship, et cetera. And I think this week's the same thing, and it's the same thing that happened at the Canadian Open the last 2 years to us when they when the Saudis pulled the whammy on our national championship. Once the ball goes in the ground on Thursday, everybody forgets that garbage, and everybody starts talking about, you know, who's got the lead, who's playing great, and they realize that they're in the Players' Championship. So all the stuff that, you know, we worry about or talk about or, you know, try to break down and analyze, it all goes away once the ball goes in the ground Thursday morning.
Yeah, that's very well said. Okay, let's get to this week. And Scottie Scheffler, plus 550 right now on FanDuel, the overwhelming pre-tournament betting favorite. The player with the next shortest odds is Rory McIlroy at plus 1,200. So quite a big gap there. And Mark, we spoke at length on Monday's show about Scottie Scheffler and the putter change to that mallet-style putter. Oh, by the way, Rory McIlroy recommended that he did that a couple weeks earlier live on television. So my question to you, Mark, in your mind, is Scottie Scheffler unstoppable if he's putting well?
Yes. If he's putting just decent, he's going to be very hard to beat. If he puts well, he will win by, you know, three or more. Likely closer to four, five, or six, like we saw last week, like we saw here last year. So if he putts well, it might be over before it starts. If he putts decent, he should still be the favorite. So, I mean, anything at plus one or better, strokes gained putting, he is likely still to win. Anything at plus two and a half, plus three strokes gained putting or better, he's going to win by a handful. If it's, I would suggest 0.00 to plus one, like somewhere in that fraction just above the average of the field, he will contend. And then when he starts to get into the minus is when you'll start to see, you know, top 10, top 20, top 30. I mean, really has to start giving shots away to not have a chance. And that's just math. If we just look at the mathematics of this, Adam, and his strokes gained tee to green, his strokes gained off the tee, his strokes gained approach to green, never mind the fact that this is likely the best player in the world alongside Cam Smith off tight lies with the wedge, which is part of how you win around here. You have got awkward tight lies with the grain against you, similar to what you get at Augusta National, where he has just been awesome from tight lies. That is a huge part of this. When you just start doing the math on it and then start doing the putter deduction from it, he's got a lot of wiggle room with strokes gained tee to green. I mean, he can give some shots away of the putter. See, again, Bob says it all the time. He's just got to be average with the putter. And if he's better than average, it might not be a fair fight.
Might not be a fair fight. Those are some big words, and we last really heard that about Tiger Woods back at the 2000 U.S. Open, won that by, just 15 shots, and Scheffler won last week by 5 shots. He won this tournament last year by that same 5-shot margin. Scottie Scheffler, the overwhelming pre-tournament betting favorite, plus 550 right now on FanDuel. When we come back here on GTC, we'll take a look at some of the other notables, including Rory McIlroy, who had some very interesting comments about his swing. Looking forward to hearing Mark's perspective on that when we come back right here on Golf Talk Canada.
This segment of GTC, presented by TaylorMade, was brought to you by Movember, the official men's health partner of Golf Talk Canada. You can get involved and help change the face of men's health by visiting Movember.com today. This is Golf Talk Canada, presented by TaylorMade. This segment of GTC is brought to you by WeatherTech Canada. Canada's leader in automotive accessories. Visit WeatherTech.ca.
Welcome back inside Golf Talk Canada here on the TSN Radio Network and on TSN2 from now until noon as we preview the Players' Championship from TPC Sawgrass. Mark Skeeto now rejoins us on the line. And Mark, we just spoke about Scottie Scheffler. He is the betting favorite at plus 550, the world number one, looking to win back-to-back and successfully defend his title at the Players' Championship. But next up, I want to talk to you about Rory McIlroy. And you've seen Rory a bunch in person this season with your work with PGA Tour Radio, PGA Tour Live as well. And Rory had some interesting comments this morning, Mark, where he said the swing feels he has right now are great with the driver, but with his irons, he has to think of something totally different because he's fighting a pull hook with his irons, having the same feel with his driver, if he's thinking the same thing. Have you seen anything from his swing in particular that would make those comments true?
100%, Adam. And this is a difficult and very challenging thing to deal with as a professional because the things that are problems with the irons are things that are making the driver work exceptionally well. And this is a problem I believe the closer you get to short irons and wedges. And by the way, this is not a new problem for Rory McIlroy or a new fight for Rory. And what he's talking about is, Rory very much gets the driver out on the way back and down the line with an incredible amount of whiff. And that whiff allows him to make what is just a dramatically large shoulder turn. And then he gets into his squat and uses the ground probably better than anybody else. And people go, you know, how does this little guy create so much speed? Well, when you create that width on the way back with that giant turn into a squat, that's where that power comes from. And then from there, he drops the driver underneath the plane. So the golf club on the way down is coming inside the line on a much lower plane than it went back. And then from that position right there, he basically leaps off the ground with his left hip, creates an incredible separation from the top part of his body and the lower part. The lower part of his body is opening up dramatically to the target while his chest is still covering the golf ball. This is what Jim McClain likes to refer to as the X factor, but many people call it different things. But it's that separation of shoulder turn and hip turn on the way down with all that width. Incredible amount of speed. And with fairway woods, drivers, long irons, this is what makes him so incredible in those categories. But when you get into the wedges, you get into the short irons, and there's all those parts moving in different directions and separation of planes and separations from arms and hands from the body, it fights irons. It fights middle irons. It fights short irons. And you and I 2 years ago were having a conversation about his wedge play. What's the point in being the best driver of the golf ball in the world and putting wedge in your hand all the time if you can't hit your target from 120 yards? I mean, you're better off hitting a 5-iron off the tee or giving yourself 170, 180 in than giving yourself 120, 110 in if your wedges are that bad. So what he's talking about when it comes to completely different thoughts is he's probably, my guess, having more thoughts and more sensations over wedges and short irons the way a Steve Stricker would feel, where there's very little change in plane, very little redirection of arms and hands, where it's very much a one plane back with a smooth turn and a one plane down with a smooth turn, trying to remove all the little angles and all those little things that can go wrong in the golf swing that, you know, from 150 yards in, 130 yards in, and certainly 120 in, and are really going to hurt you. So it's weird because in a way we've come full circle, and he seemed to have this under control about, you know, about a year ago, springtime last year. This was something he was no longer fighting. And now here we're back to where we were 2 years ago, where it's like, okay, I've got a golf swing and I've got swing thoughts that work with wedges and short irons. And I've got something completely different through the bag. That is a very, very, very hard way to play golf at this level.
I have to commend you, Mark, because I don't think you have a Rory McIlroy video in front of you, and you're just analyzing off the top of your head, which I have to commend you, my friend. And I think at some point, before the Masters, what I really think we need to do on TV is just have this exact same conversation, except let's play a video of Rory McIlroy actually swinging. Let's stop it. Let's freeze it. Let's put lines on the screen, because I don't know about you, but I just learned a lot from what you just said.
I'm in. That's a no-brainer. I think it's a great visual for our audience, and it'll give them a lot more understanding of what's going on here. And it might help a lot of people, too, with their own golf swing at them, especially people looking for more distance off the – who isn't looking for more distance off the tee, right? So you can learn a lot from Rory's swing if you're looking for power and speed. He's going to have to figure something out. He's going to have to Band-Aid something together for the next 4 or 5 days here. To get the wedges under control, because this is not a place where you want to put wedge in your hand and not be controlling the flight and the spin, because these penalty areas, water features around the stadium course can really make you look foolish if you're not in control of your short irons.
And that control of his short irons, specifically when he changes the plane, that's where you see that long left miss or short right miss, especially inside 120, 130 yards for Rory McIlroy. Now, looking down the betting book, Mark, we have Xander Schauffele at plus 2,000. And this is a guy who some would argue best player in the world without a major championship. And he said yesterday during his pre-tournament press conference that he didn't think that winning the Players Championship would quote-unquote change his life, although it would be nice. How are you feeling about Xander Schauffele this week?
I mean, that's a strange quote, right? Yeah. I mean, you know, these guys are funny. They're really funny guys, right? Mm. It's like, did a gold medal change his life? I don't know. I mean, it's not a big deal until they win it. And then all of a sudden it's, oh, you know, your career's not complete until you have this one on the resume. And, you know, to us in the locker room, we consider this a major. We don't care what, you know, the media says or what sports writers say. To us, this is a major championship. So I think Xander's kind of using a little bit of a tool that we've seen Rory McIlroy use, that we've seen Sergio Garcia use, we saw a lot of players over history kind of use this tool. They go to the tool chest and they throw this out there really when they're at a loss. And what they do is they deflect it, right? Because they don't want to answer the questions of when you're going to win your first major championship. When are you going to bring home a big one? You know, sure, you won a gold medal. Sure, you've done well at East Lake Tour Championship and whatnot. But when are you going to get it done at, you know, these four events or players or whatnot? So they just deflect. They just kick the rock down the road and make it sound like it's not a big deal, and it's just another tournament, and, you know, blah, 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 blah. So he's trying to talk – I think he's trying to talk himself into a good performance this week, Adam, because he's probably not happy with the way he started his season. He's shown signs of life. He's had some tournaments where you and I thought, I kind of like him this week. You know, obviously Torrey Pines, American Express, there are spots on the calendar where it's a horses for courses, and this week is certainly not one of them. But the West Coast Swing is, and I know you and I were like kind of looking at Xander for a couple of those. And I think now he's like, hey, I just went through the West Coast Swing. I went through a part of the schedule where I'm supposed to contend and maybe win. It didn't happen. So let's just deflect any pressure. Let's just deflect any of those career questions that, you know, Sergio got forever at the Masters. Lee Westwood got at every major. Mickelson, you know, had to answer them for decades until he figured it out. So I think we're kind of getting into that recipe and that part of Xander's career.
Yeah, it's a fascinating time for Xander Schauffele. Plus 2,000 right now on FanDuel, or 20-1, the third shortest odds to win the Players' Championship. Going to talk about a couple more guys before we go to break. Justin Thomas, he's the guy I want to ask you about next. Plus 2,500, 25-1 on FanDuel. We spoke for hours about JT in 2023 on our show, how he struggled in a big, big way. But now, clearly, things have changed. Justin Thomas playing a lot of good golf. Would you be surprised to see JT holding the trophy come Sunday afternoon?
Not at all. There were three players that I really struggled with this week, not being able to put them on our, you know, our picks, our Players Championship teams, you know, and we're only allowed to put in three picks each week. And I knew if you said, Mark, you've got three more picks, I knew exactly who those players were. In fact, when you text me on Monday, I said, Adam, I got it down to five players and I'm just trying to figure out, you know, who the two are out of those next five, because Scotty was a lock for me, Scheffler. And if you told me I had three more picks in no particular order of who those three picks would be, I had a really hard time not picking Shane Lowry this week, a really hard time not picking Justin Thomas this week. And this might be a bit of a curveball at you, but I think there's a ton of value in Erik Vinrojen this week. I think Vinrojen has played some incredible golf. He struggles a little with accuracy off the tee. Not a problem this week. This is a golf course where people, it's not hard to put it in the fairway here, and you don't have to hit a lot of drivers. Those were the three names I really wanted to kind of, if you gave me a second team to select, that probably goes Justin Thomas, Shane Lowry, Erik Vinrojen coming into this. So,
interesting.
And don't forget, Sunday, St. Patrick's Day.
Uh-huh.
So will it be the luck of the Irish? Shane Lowry, Rory McIlroy, will one of them figure it out on St. Paddy's Day here? So, I mean, those are the three. I had such a hard time not going with one of them or all of them.
Yeah, that's interesting. And the last time the Players' Championship wrapped up on Sunday, St. Patrick's Day, Mark, guess who won 2019? Rory McIlroy. So maybe the old luck of the Irish will be going. That was a really bad impression to try at that, but we went with it anyway. Okay, I have to ask you, because you mentioned guys who aren't on your team, but Will Zalatoris is on your team at plus 3,300. Will Zalatoris, here's a guy who has gone through back surgery, gone through injury struggles, but now he is back and playing well. And a big change, that broomstick putter. Now, in the past, those short putts were borderline changed the channel because it was hard to watch. But how much better does a stroke look with that long broomstick putter?
I love when it is as bad as it was, Adam, when it was Lucas Glover bad. I love the complete departure. I'm not a big fan of little changes in this game when things are that severe. You know, Ben Hogan said, if you have a problem with a slice, you need to learn to hook a ball before you can hit it straight. You don't go take a slicer of the golf ball and teach them how to hit it straight. That never happens. You got to create a brand new pattern, something that is completely foreign, and teach that player how to hook the ball before they can hit it straight. Well, I think that applies through the bag and through this game. And Will Zalatoris, in a short history here, has some of the worst putting numbers inside 15 feet in the history of this golf tournament. Well, that was Will Zalatoris before he made a complete departure from traditional putting or arm luck putting, and now is into this broom-style putter, the same broom-style that saved Adam Scott's career, the same broom-style that saved Bernard Langer's career, Lucas Glover's career. This is a completely different way of putting. It is a foreign departure. And all of a sudden, his putting has become an asset versus a problem. And when you can do that, well, look at what Lucas Glover did last year. Those two late wins in the season, all of a sudden where he went, oh, my God, I don't drive to the golf course paranoid about my putting anymore. I can just go play golf. That's what's happening, I believe, right now in Will Zalatoris. He's just getting comfortable with the new back. Some of the changes they made to alleviate pressure off the back fusion. I think he is glowing with confidence and not worried at all about his putting right now. In fact, I talked to him a couple of weeks ago. He told me face to face. He said, Mark, he goes, it's totally different. I don't have to worry about practicing. I don't hurt my back while I practice. All I do is I get in, I line it up, I rock my shoulders. I don't think about putting. I line up my putt, I rock my shoulders. Some I make, some I miss. I get on with it. That freedom between the years with the putter, I mean, it's just going to be huge for him moving forward.
Plus 3,300 on FanDuel to win outright. And looking ahead, Will Zalatoris definitely going to be on our major radar. 11 career major championships played. 6 top 10s for Will Zalatoris in just 11 major championships. He is on your team as well this week at the Players' Championship. When we come back here on GTC, we'll wrap up hour one, taking a look at the Canadians. Nick Taylor has already won in 2024. Who's the next Canadian to win? Who has the best chance of the Canucks to contend this week? We'll discuss that and much more next right here on Golf Talk Canada.
This segment of GTC, presented by TaylorMade, was brought to you by WeatherTech Canada, Canada's leader in automotive accessories. This is Golf Talk Canada, presented by TaylorMade. This segment of GTC is brought to you by Play Golf Myrtle Beach. home to 80 great courses, 60 miles of sandy shores, endless dining and entertainment. Visit PlayGolfMyrtleBeach.com to start planning your golf trip today.
Welcome back inside Golf Talk Canada. Adam Scully here in studio. Mark Sacchino on the phone. And we should mention, how would you like to win a free pair of Adidas golf shoes? We'll tell you how you can get in a draw to win. That's coming up a little later in the show, so don't go away. We'll tell you how you can win a pair of Adidas golf shoes. Well, Mark, seven Canadians are in the field this week at the Players Championship. Corey Connors, Adam Hadwin, Nick Taylor, Adam Svensson, Ben Silverman, Mackenzie Hughes, Taylor Pendrith. Of the seven in the field, Mark, who do you think has the best chance to have the best week at TPC Sawgrass?
Well, I think, you know, the obvious for me moving forward is Nick Taylor, and it's got nothing to do really with what he's doing on the golf course, although he is our highest-ranked Canadian in the FedEx Cup, in the World Golf Ranking, so the numbers suggest that he is the guy. But I go with Nick because of the size of the moment. He is the guy that, you know, hands down, will not flinch. He will not balk if he's got a chance to win on Sunday. In fact, one could now argue that if the moment gets bigger, he might even get better at this point, which is saying a lot. After Nick, you know, Corey, it's about one club. I mean, look at Corey Connors' ball striking numbers right now. He's just extremely impressive across the board until you get to 161st in strokes gained putting. And I feel like this is a conversation that we've had before over the years. But we're coming into a part of the schedule where he's a little bit more familiar with the greens, a little bit more familiar with the putting surfaces. Subtleties is not a description I would use for these putting surfaces. These are very modern spec greens. The breaks are obvious. Some are severe, but they stare you right in the face. Kind of similar to Augusta National. Breaks are severe, but they stare you right in the face. He has putted well at Augusta National. Sometimes people who struggle with their putting, Adam, you know, you and I have had this conversation. They get to Riviera, and it's like they're creasy, the greens, and it's like, is this a ball or two balls? And all of a sudden, the Kikuyu pulls it in a certain direction or something like that. There's not a lot of that here. These greens are perfect. These greens are velvet pool tables, and it's a pretty obvious break. This thing's going to move 2 feet from right to left. And you either, you know, pull off the stroke and start on the line you want, or you don't. There's not a ton of guesswork or subtleties to learn around here. I think Corey will be a little bit more comfortable on the greens this week than we've seen him so far this year. That's the putter. That's the club that needs to turn around.
And looking at FanDuel right now, special on Nick Taylor being the top Canadian at plus 440. Talk about value there, Mark. What do you think?
Yeah, I think it's a no-brainer. I mean, I guess, are people just not believe outside of Canada? Are people just not believing yet in what we've all seen? I mean, like, took down Phil Mickelson at Pebble Beach, almost took down Scottie Scheffler at the Waste Management, got it done on Canadian soil to break a 70-year jinx in the biggest moment we've all been a part of. Did it again, Waste Management this year. Got it done in a playoff with basically playing for the last 90 minutes of the day in a must-make situation. Gets it done. I mean, he doesn't need to show us anything else now. He showed us. He's shown us. I said to you in our year in review special, and I've reiterated it again this year, he is not scared of the moment, and I think the natural progression for Nick Taylor's career now, the only place left for him to go is to start winning a major championship. So we're really at a major. The players consider it a major. Why not this weekend?
Nick Taylor, 120-1 to win outright on FanDuel, plus 440 to be the top Canadian this week, the 25th ranked player in the world, looking for yet another victory this week at the Players Championship. Okay, Mark, before we wrap up here, you're there with PGA Tour Radio. Where are you off to right now? What are you going to do on the golf course?
I got to go find Scottie Scheffler. We got to get some comments and thoughts on defending this championship this week and the state of his game. So I think we kind of know the state of his game. I'm assuming he'll just give us the same sound bites as what he's given us throughout the week in his press conference or whatever. And then we'll get some thoughts of how he feels about defending, being a defending players champion, what that means to him and whatnot. I'm sure it's just going to be, I got to think he's in a great place. I don't expect Adam any kind of fatigue or letdown after last week. I kind of expect the opposite. I think next week might have been the big springboard to that 4-5-6 win season that we thought he should have had last year.
Well, Scottie Scheffler, the betting favorite right now at plus 550. Mark, thanks for your time this morning. I know it's a busy day and week ahead for you. We'll see you next week as we wrap up the Players' Championship starting up Monday at 10 a.m. right here on the TSN Radio Network. Mark, thanks for your time.
Have a great week, Skulls. Talk this week, brother.
Okay, we'll talk to you soon. That is the Z-Man. You can catch his call throughout the week on PGA Tour Radio. Well, that wraps up hour one here on TSN 2 and the TSN Radio Network. Coming up in hour two, coming from the Players Championship, Bob Weeks is going to join us. Graham Dillette's going to join us. Michael the Hound Dog Harrison, he's not at TPC Sawgrass. He will also join us to discuss the betting perspective on this week's Players Championship. And we are going to give away a pair of Adidas golf shoes. We'll tell you how you can get in a draw to win a pair of Adidas golf shoes. All that coming up and much more. That wraps up hour one here on GTC. Hour two getting underway in just a couple minutes.
This segment of GTC presented by TaylorMade was brought to you by Play Golf Myrtle Beach, the golf capital of the world. Thank you for listening to hour one of GTC. Don't forget to follow us on Twitter and Instagram at Golf Talk Canada and subscribe to our YouTube channel. For show archives, podcasts, and all things GTC, visit golftalkcanada.com. And don't miss Golf Talk Canada Television, weekly on the TSN Television Network. This is Hour 2 of Golf Talk Canada, presented by Picton Mahoney Asset Management. For over 18 years, our focus has been on helping Canadians stay invested in all market conditions, including this one. Why Picton Mahoney? Visit PictonMahoney.com. Now, here are your hosts, Mark Sacchino, Bob Weeks, and Adam Scully.
Come on in. Welcome back inside Golf Talk Canada. Hour two, the back nine here on GTC. Adam Scully here in studio. We're on the TSN Radio Network as well. Our first radio to TV of 2024, TSN 2, will be on Wednesdays leading into some of the bigger tournaments of the year, the majors, FedEx Cup playoffs, RBC Canadian Open. We're on throughout the week. And here, as we preview the Players' Championship, coming up in hour two, we're going to tell you how you can win a pair of Adidas golf shoes. Graham Dillette going to join us. Michael the Hound Dog Harrison going to join us. And now on the line, Bob Weeks joins us now. What's going on, Weeksy?
Not a lot. Just stepped out of a Victor Hovland press conference to come and join you, Scully.
Okay. First obvious question. Victor Hovland's had some interesting fashion selections, should we say. How was the shirt looking this morning?
He's pretty bland today by his standards. I would say that he's just kind of maybe getting, you know, this is just a Wednesday. You don't want to blow everything wide open on until you get on the tee on Thursday or Friday. So I think he's just kind of warming up.
Okay, that's very well said. Okay, speaking of press conferences, PGA Tour Commissioner Jay Monahan spoke with the media on Tuesday. Bob, were you in the room, and what were your takeaways from what Commissioner had to say?
I was in the room, and it was pretty wide-ranging for one thing. I think there was a lot of different topics that were covered from, you know, the state of the PIF negotiations to whether he felt he was the right guy to keep the job going. You know, there was a bunch of different things. I would say the main thrust, certainly the red hot part, was when he was asked if he had support of, if he thought he had the support of the players, and if he had been asked to resign at any time. And he said, you know, I can't speak for all the different players out there. We got a lot of different members, but he did say that he felt he was the guy for the job. And after that, there were a number of players who weighed in. Rory McIlroy earlier this morning weighed in and gave his support behind Jay. some of the other guys were sort of saying he's got a little ways to go before we're going to kind of let him off for what happened on June 6th back at the RBC Canadian Open. But it was good. He was in there for an hour, which is long for any kind of a press conference, let alone the commissioner. And I think he defended pretty well what he's been doing and what he's been trying to do. And then the other underlying theme was they're really focused on doing stuff for fans, delivering an experience for the people who come and watch here. They're going to spend a lot of money, invest a lot in different things, including television, on-site experience. So there was a lot of topics that he covered, and I thought he did a fairly good job at it.
Yeah, he spoke for an hour, and you mentioned some players who say he has a long way to go, Xander Schauffele being one of them. Patrick Cantlay kind of danced around the question a little bit, but you mentioned Rory McIlroy. He has the support from Rory supporting Jay Monahan, I should say, on that. Now, Rory, this week, he is the second shortest odds to win at plus 1,200. Mark and I took a deep dive into what Rory was talking about this morning, about his golf swing in particular, where the feels he currently has are great with his driver, but with the irons, with the wedges, he's really fighting a pull hook. What are your thoughts on Rory McIlroy as we end this week?
Yeah, the self-analysis was pretty good. He said he's really never felt better with the driver, the way, and the woods, we should say, not just the driver, but I mean, when you're driving 401-yard par fours, I think you got to be pretty satisfied with your driver. That's what he did last week, of course. And he did say that sometimes when he is driving through the ball, in other words, when he's turning his body to hit the woods, he's doing it very fast, and he says he probably can't do it as fast with the irons, and that leads to that left shot that he's been trying to correct. The rest of his game is really solid if you look at the numbers from the last few weeks, and I think that if he gets himself into a position where he's able to correct that iron shot, it's going to be a little bit like what we saw with Scottie Scheffler fixing his putting. You know, look out, because he could really unlock something, and he feels like he's pretty close to that. We'll see what happens when he steps on the tee here on Thursday. But the other question that I liked that he was asked this morning was, does he need a win or does he want a win? And he said probably a little bit of both, and I think that's about as honest and as true a statement as you could make.
And he won this tournament 5 years ago. Hard to believe it's been 5 years, 2019, when Rory McIlroy won. And it's interesting, Bob, because Sunday is St. Patrick's Day. Rory McIlroy, when he won, it was also on a Sunday. It was also St. Patrick's Day. So what do you think? Luck of the Irish this week?
Yeah, kismet. Boy, that's coming together pretty nicely. So maybe that'll happen for him. Of course, Shane Lowry might say, well, yep, maybe it's my turn. So there's that as well. But look, I think golf's a better place when Rory McIlroy is at least contending, and if not contending, also winning. So I think there's a good thing to be had if we see Rory in the hunt on Sunday.
Definitely. And you mentioned Shane Lowry coming off a couple of good finishes, does have a hole in one on the 17th hole. One of the few players who said they have an ace on the 17th hole. But let's talk about Scottie Scheffler, because he is the overwhelming pre-tournament betting favorite at plus 550 on FanDuel. He is on your team this week in regards to our PGA Tour picks we do every week. If he putts just decently, Bob, is he virtually unstoppable?
You'd have to think so, judging by the numbers that he's put through over the course of this year. The rest of his game has been ridiculous in terms of pretty much every stat you go through. If you look at the strokes gain numbers, he's not inside the top 10 in all of them. He's pretty close, except for that putter, of course, and that we saw what happened last week. But yeah, I mean, it's a little bit it's a little bit like what Tiger was in his prime when he was so, just, you know, through the bag, impressive in every swing and every time he touched a golf club. I don't know, you know, if I think there's other people who can be great as well. I think Rory is one of them, but it's a small number who can kind of match the through the bag success and prowess that he has. He's sort of an understated world number one. He's been world number one for a while, but I don't know if we give him enough props for just how good he is. And if he does go on another roll like he did in 2022 when he won, I think, four times in six starts, I think, you know, if this putter improvements stay, I think we could be looking at something like that.
Really looking forward to seeing what Scottie Scheffler has this week. Won by five shots last week. Won this tournament by five shots last year. Defending his title this week at the Players' Championship. In conversation here with Bob Weeks. Bob, seven Canadians are in the field this week. Of the seven Canucks, who do you believe has the best chance to have the best week?
You know, I would probably say Nick Taylor, and I just think it's a little bit like what we were just saying, you know, with Scottie. Nick's kind of got pretty much every part of his game working pretty well. He's had some good and bad experiences in terms of playing at this golf course. I do think he's kind of, in some ways, separated himself just a little bit from the rest of the Canadians. I think they would argue that, obviously, which is their right, of course, but he just seems to be playing a little bit better, a little bit more consistently. And I think if you look now, one of the big things, he may not be winning week in and week out, but his finishes have gone from, you know, 60th and 50th to 20th and in the teens. And he's played just some consistently solid golf all year. And I think he's got a kind of game that can get himself around this kind of a golf course. So we'll see. Adam Hadwin is also catching my eye because he's played this course well in the past. He's got some good numbers as well. I think that putter has been his ally so far this year. And if the rest of the game just heats up a little bit, he could be around as well. But it's a nice time to be able to have a whole bunch of guys to pick from, isn't it?
It certainly is a great time to be a fan of Canadian golf. And I don't mean to put an announcer's jinx on Adam Hadwin, but hasn't he? He's gone in the teens at least consecutively without missing the green on the 17th hole. Do I have that right, Bob?
Yeah, right. I think he might be up at 20. I know Corey Connors is another one who's never put one in the water. And, of course, our own Graham Dillette, who I know is coming up on the show. Three Canadians who have never found the water. But you're right. We don't want to put the announcer's jinx on him. So we don't mention that. I did ask Adam in an interview we had yesterday. I just said, what's the key to playing 17 well? I didn't remind him that he's never gone in the water. But I know he'll. If the ball on Thursday goes into the water, he's going to be trying to find me and saying it was my fault probably. But it's funny when you talk to guys about that hole, you know, like Rory this morning, same thing. You know, if you said if it was all grass there, it would be the easiest hole on the PGA Tour. Instead, it's just all mental. And, you know, David Markle, Nick Taylor's caddy, said he just tried to find out where the wind is, and we try to land it in the middle of the green. And I think that's a pretty good strategy.
Yeah, certainly very smart. Okay, a couple of fun ones before we let you go, Bob. You've covered these tournaments 4 years. It's Wednesday. It's just after 11 a.m. People might be wondering, what are you doing the rest of the day? Are you interviewing players? Are you doing hits? What are you doing for the rest of the day?
Yeah, I'm listening to a few of the press conferences that are going on. I'm going to write a story, I think, probably involving Rory. I'm going to put that up on tsn.ca later on. Graham Dillette and I are going to take over the three handicap, and because I know you're busy, so we're going to do that today. And we also got a little addition of speed golf coming up. So busy day, and we'll also find, we interviewed most of the Canadians yesterday, but there's a few that we're going to look for and see if we can get them get some short time with them to pop up on tsn.ca as well. So steady busy day, and it's like that usually. It sounds strange, but it's Tuesday and Wednesday are busier than Thursday and Friday. Once the tournament starts, it's just kind of follow the ball, and that can sometimes be a little easier than trying to track down the guys you want and getting them in front of a microphone.
Now, on Monday's show, you spoke glowingly about the smoothies at TPC Sawgrass. Have you taken any down yet?
You know what? They've transitioned. There were no smoothies this year. I was rather shocked, to be honest with you. It's kind of a very nice set-out menu, but I wouldn't think there's any one part of it that stands out for us yet. But we'll see. I would say that the TSN golf team though went out last night. Ooh. And we found a local establishment where they had trivia. It was trivia night. Producer Jamie Rydell is one of the all-time experts in trivia. So we combined our efforts and we managed a fifth place finish last night. We may have to try and find somewhere where it is tonight and improve on that.
I'm looking forward to getting a full update and recap of that next week on the show. Bob, thanks so much for joining us this morning. Have a great day. Have a great call interviewing the players and such, and we'll see you later today on SportsCenter. Thanks for your time.
Take care. Bye-bye, Adam.
Okay, that's Bob Weeks. Okay, as Bob mentioned, Graham Dillette joining us. He'll come on the show after the break right here on Golf Talk Canada.
This segment of GTC was presented by Picton Mahoney Asset Management. For over 18 years, our focus has been on helping Canadians stay invested in all market conditions, including this one. This is Golf Talk Canada, presented by Picton Mahoney Asset Management. This segment of GTC is brought to you by Cobble Beach, Georgian Bay's extraordinary waterfront golf resort community. To learn more about their award-winning golf course and growing community, visit cobblebeach.com today.
Welcome back inside Golf Talk Canada. Adam Scully here in studio. We're on till noon right here on the TSN Radio Network and TSN2 for our first radio to TV special of 2024. For much more on the Players' Championship, now joining us is good friend of the show, TSN golf analyst Graham Dillette. GD, what is happening?
Enjoying a nice, beautiful, sunny day here at the Players, fellas.
Mm-hmm. And I hear that you and Weeksy and producer extraordinaire Jamie Rydell had some success at trivia last night. Is that right?
It's nothing to brag about. No, I think we finished like in the top half. Okay. We were the defending champs. We won trivia there on Tuesday of last week. We went back with our chest popped out pretty high, but walked out. I was hanging my head leaving. I don't know why they'd be so proud about that.
Okay, I'll have to talk to Jamie about that. That seems a little interesting. Okay, lots going on right now at the Players' Championship. What do you make about everything that's going on off the golf course before we get on the golf course? Everything that Commissioner Jay Monahan has been talking about, specifically with yesterday's press conference?
Yeah, you know, it's interesting. Like, I mean, we sat through his press conference, and then I sat and listen to Xander when he came through, Patrick Cantlay when he came through, Scottie Scheffler just this morning, just now, Victor Hovland. And I think it's pretty fair to say that the majority of the players, at least the top players here, aren't 100% confident in the fact that Jay is the guy to kind of keep moving the ship forward. I think that they all understand that guys make mistakes and, you know, you can right the ship. But at the same time, I think, you know, and Xander said it pretty well yesterday. It's like, look, it's like for me to trust Jay, I think that it can be done, but he's got a lot of making up to do kind of at this point. And I think that's kind of the general census amongst the players is that, is he the right guy? Nobody really knows for sure, but he better start making some moves here pretty quickly.
And from your perspective, let's say this happened while you were still playing. I'm sure the trust would be hard as well because, as we've seen so far in this latest edition of the Netflix series and what players have said publicly, they found out with the rest of us, too, what had happened last June 6th.
Yeah, it's pretty crazy. And, you know, Jay, you know, acknowledged that yesterday when he was speaking. But I feel like that's partly because of the Netflix show. I mean, it's like he had a long time between last June 6th and now to kind of, you know, just be upfront and say, hey, I made a mistake. I'm trying to move forward at this point. But until something like that pops out and then obviously this big tournament, which is, you know, the biggest PGA Tour run tournament in the entire world. And now he decides however many months, 8, 10 months later, to finally acknowledge it. And I think that's one of the things that is driving the players kind of nuts is just like sometimes when you step or you make a mistake, you got to step up and, well, you know, for lack of better words, be a man and accept it and tell everybody that you're moving on.
Well, it is the strongest field in golf. It's been said that way forever, really. But when you look at the guys not in the field, it's three of the last five major champions not in the field, including two of who won last year, and John Rahm at the Masters, Brooks Koepka at the PGA Championship, both are LIV golfers. What's the overall sense right now on the field, GD, about guys who aren't there this week?
I mean, when you ask the players, I don't think that they really care. In all honesty, they're here to try to win a golf tournament. There's still a massive purse, and with five or six of those big-time players not there, that gives them a better chance to lift the trophy at the end of the week. So, but I think the fans are the ones that are really missing out on this. And I was just kind of thinking, as you were saying, because we've been saying that all week here too, and for how many years, strongest field in golf, like at what point, how many more players get poached off this tour that this actually doesn't, you can't actually say that anymore. Even if the world rankings tell you so, I don't know how credible they really are anymore at this point in time anyways. And I mean, if you lose a couple more big players and, you know, the U.S. Open or the Masters or something else could end up being arguably the best field in golf at this point.
Yeah, it's certainly a fascinating time in the world of golf. So looking at the players who are in the field this week, we have world number one, we have Scottie Scheffler. His odds to win, plus 550, the overwhelming pre-tournament betting favorite. Rory McIlroy, the second shortest odds at plus 1,200. I've asked Weeksy, I've asked Aquino if Scheffler's unstoppable with a better putter. I'm not going to ask you that question, but I'm going to ask you specifically, plus 550, do you think those numbers are bettable for Scottie Scheffler, those odds being that short?
No. I mean, I would look at the top 10 odds for him. If I was going to take the favorite, you could probably get it almost even money to top 10. And it seems like anytime he's in a golf tournament, he's top 10 in. But no, I don't think that's even worth betting. I'm not saying that he can't win. Obviously, he's proven that he's the best player in the world right now, and especially with a little bit of confidence in that putter, that goes a long way because we all know how well he hits a golf ball. But yeah, plus 550, I would look at it elsewhere.
Yeah, plus 140 for a top five, minus 140 for a top 10 for Scottie Scheffler. And obviously he saw a breakthrough with the putter, and I know it was just 1 week, but he definitely putted a lot better. Graham, going back to your days, when there was an area of your game that was struggling, and let's just say you had a breakthrough, whether it was chipping, whether it was putting, whether it was off the tee, did that give you freedom for the rest of your game to sort of go ahead and hit it as hard as you could and see if you could find it from there?
Well, it's like, I mean, it's kind of one of those things that everybody knows what their strengths and weaknesses are, but when it gets pointed out over and over and over by the media and you get asked the same questions all the time, it eventually starts to weigh on you, and you know that you're doing everything in your power to try to get better, whether it's working with a new coach or trying to get a better roll or doing new drills or switching your putters or changing the grip or the length of your putter. All those things can sometimes just magically snap things out overnight. And the question is whether it's sustainable. Obviously he had a nice week putting, and sometimes you make that first 5 or 6 footer in a round and all of a sudden the hole starts looking bigger and you putt nicely that day or that week. And then, you get out to the next tournament the next week and you miss one of those 5-6 footers early in the round and it's like a tone setter, and all of a sudden the hole starts shrinking and you start, squeezing it a little tighter and guiding. And that's obviously what Scotty, because he's an athletic guy. He talked about yesterday how he's not using a line on the ball anymore, which I think is a really good way to use more feel and athleticism, as opposed to getting so ingrained in the line and the mechanics of the stroke to get the ball rolling end over end. So I think that was a really good change for him, and that alone might free him up. And but time will tell. I mean, look, he can putt average for himself, which is below average on the PGA Tour, and still win. That's how crazy it is. And when he putts well, it's like when Tiger used to, like, if he drove the ball well, he was going to win by a mile, because that was like the downfall in his game. He couldn't hit fairways, but when he actually found fairways, he would win by 6 and 7, 8 strokes. Mm-hmm. And it's kind of the same with Scotty right now. Everyone knows how well he hits, and if he can make putts, nobody can touch him.
He's been so much fun to watch. Plus 550, Scottie Scheffler right now. How about Rory McIlroy? Plus 1,200, second shortest odds as we speak. And I've mentioned this a couple times already on this show, but McIlroy was pretty open and honest talking about his swing feels right now, how it feels great with the driver, but when he does the same feel with the irons, he's fighting the pull hook, the pull draw, that sort of thing. What are your overall thoughts on McIlroy this week?
Yeah, it's pretty crazy, actually. I mean, and I've kind of been in this same situation before. It's like, how can you hit the hardest club in your bag on a rope so confidently, and then, you get a wedge or a 9-iron in your hand, and you feel like you can't even go right at a pin that normally would be in full attack mode. It's a crazy game. As you mentioned before, producer extraordinaire Jamie Rydell, he just showed me a stat that Rory's approaching the green numbers, against the field strokes gained, is like 150th on tour this week. And what's even crazier about that is he's number one off the tee. So he's hitting from the most ideal spots, where if guys could drop the ball there, they would probably be in the hunt every single week. And he's 150th-ish, which is, I mean, basically last on tour in strokes gain approaching the green, which is like a mind-blowing stat.
Yeah, it's certainly
mind. We've got to get it figured out.
Yeah, it, totally. And it seems like he's really fighting a two-way miss, especially with those wedges where if he brings it in down or inside, he's either going to miss it long left or miss it short right. What do you think about that?
Well, whenever I would have two-way misses, that would be the goal is, you know, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday is to go and just say, I never had a swing coach, but I would just go dig it out of the dirt and say, look, if I'm going to be missing, I'm going to completely get rid of the left side of the golf course. That was how I always played. So I would swing left, try to keep the club face open, and just hit cuts. And once I did that, usually for about a week or so, everything all started to tighten up a little bit. But when you're trying to hit the ball straight, it's hard. The straight shot's the hardest shot to hit. If you commit to a draw, hit a drop. You commit to a cut, you can hit a cut. So that would be my advice. I mean, like, not that he would come seeking advice from me, but eliminate half the golf course, hit one shot, and stick to it. Because obviously, off the tee, he's so good. He can hit little cuts, you know, half sawed off cuts all day long if he wants to, and be right in the mix on Sunday afternoon.
Looking forward to seeing which Rory McIlroy shows up this week, 2019 Players Champion. Graham, thanks for your time today. I know it's a busy one this week on SportsCenter. Looking forward to seeing you on the tube throughout the week. Thanks for your time.
All right, thanks, guys. Have a good one.
All right, that is Graham Dillette, our TSN golf analyst, former PGA Tour player. When we come back here on GTC, Michael the Hound Dog Harrison going to join the show for more of a preview of this week's Players Championship. This is Golf Talk Canada.
This segment of GTC, presented by Picton Mahoney Asset Management, was brought to you by Cobble Beach, Georgian Bay's extraordinary waterfront golf resort community. This is Golf Talk Canada, presented by Picton Mahoney Asset Management. This segment of GTC is brought to you by Cadillac and the all-electric vehicles that get you in the game. From Lyric to the first-ever Escalade IQ, there will be a Cadillac EV icon for you.
Welcome back inside Golf Talk Canada here on the TSN Radio Network and on TSN 2 as we continue to preview this week's Players Championship. For much more on the players this week, now joining us, good friend of the show, Michael the Hound Dog Harrison. What is happening, Mr. Harrison?
Hi, Adam. Thanks for having me on the show. I'm on a train via rail. The reception is so choppy, so I'm so nervous. I'm going to drop it. Excited to talk to you today. And
I think we're going to try to call Michael back. The reception sounded okay for part of that, I will say. Currently on the train back home, I believe Michael is. But Hound Dog has joined us a couple of times on the show this year, taking a look at the betting perspective from the PGA Tour events. And obviously this week, the Players' Championship, they say the strongest field in golf. Scottie Scheffler at plus 550. Really hoping we get Michael back on to hear his perspective on whether that number is actually bettable, quote-unquote. Graham Dillette just told us that plus 550, those are pretty short odds to try to win on the PGA Tour in terms of starting out a tournament. I think we have Michael back on. Scottie Scheffler, plus 550, is that bettable in your mind?
What timing, Adam? Just as I was talking about the reception being brutal, hilarious. I like what Graham was saying earlier, that plus 550 for Scheffler, not good odds at all. Like, until last week, he hadn't won an official PGA Tour event since last year's Players, right? So if you would have been betting on him around those odds for last year, you would have been making no money, obviously. So as he said, Graham, like, to me, like a top five bet is almost like, I think he said, what, like plus 100 or something? Mm-hmm. I'd almost rather do the top 10 at minus money. Obviously, you have to bet a bit more money then. But at this point, like, you know, to be betting him at plus 550, it's so low, those odds. I'm just not about it. Like, betting on players versus picking players for fantasy is totally different, right? Like, obviously, if you're in a fantasy pool, you're picking Scottie Scheffler. That's a no-brainer. But to bet on him at those odds, I just think there's a lot more value to be had further down the board.
And maybe something where, let's say Scottie Scheffler shoots one over, two over, let's say he's fighting to make the cut, maybe those odds climb somewhere in the teens, and maybe at that point he'd be bettable?
Absolutely, and that's the thing with the TPC Sawgrass, right? Like, very rarely do you have a player who always contends here. Like, it's just so random year to year. Pretty much one of the players that Sergio Garcia, of course, not playing because now he's on live, he was one of the few actually would be able to compete here, right? Year in and year out. Otherwise, like Scheffler, I think the last 3 years he's had like a missed cut and like a 50th place and then a win. Like, you just never know, right? So volatile, of course. So yeah, if he does shoot plus one, plus two, which I mean, good luck with that. He's probably not going to do that, let's be honest. But if he does, then the odds for him are much, much better for sure.
Yeah, plus 550 for Scottie Scheffler. Something we haven't talked about at all on this show today so far is first round leader. And you can bet that on FanDuel, players to be leading after round one. So when you're looking at the betting book, A, the forecast, well, it looks pretty good throughout the week. So that's not really a factor in terms of having a better wave playing late, early, or early late. But just overall, first round leader, who are some players you're currently circling right now?
Well, so here, let's just go back to the last 2 years, Adam. So in 2022, the first round leaders, Tommy Fleetwood, certainly someone that people... Tom Hoagie, who no one would have been really probably thinking was going to be able to, you know, contend in that tournament. And then last year was Chad Ramey, was the first round leader. So the point being, you might be very random players, right, for first round lead anyway. So the names I'm picking, I'm not going to be betting anyone that's shorter than 65-1. So I have two players in the morning and two guys in the afternoon. The two morning guys would be Alex Noren. He's third in first round scoring on the PGA Tour this year. And then the other player in the afternoon, Steven Yeager, in the morning, is Nick Taylor, which we talked about. I heard you know, we've all been sort of agreeing that Nick Taylor has a good chance to, you know, be a long shot this week. So 100-1 for Nick Taylor, like he just won at the Phoenix WM Open and had a really strong showing at Bay Hill. So those two guys for the morning. And then for the afternoon wave, Doug Gim at 65-1. I think up until last year, he had a couple really, really strong players' championships. For some reason, of course, we're talking about how a lot of times players don't consistently play well here. Well, he did for two straight years. And then Steve Yeager, who nearly won at Torrey Pines there, in February, 80-1. So to me, like, especially this course with how volatile and random it is, I'd rather be betting longer.
Yeah, I get that too, for sure. And, you know, 144 guys in the field. The forecast looks good. The golf course is in great shape. So I'm looking forward to seeing guys tearing it up in that first round, quote unquote. But one guy you mentioned there, Nick Taylor, 120-1 right now on FanDuel to win, plus 440 to be top Canadian too. What do you think about that for Nick Taylor? Plus 440 to be the top Canadian.
Well, one of the reasons I typically love to bet on Nick Taylor is the fact that he's so random. Like, either, of course, he's had the wins, the Canadian Open and in Phoenix, like I said, or he'll be like 60th. So his odds are always quite long as opposed to someone who's very, very consistent. But the thing now is with Nick Taylor, he's becoming more consistent, right? So clearly that, you know, at plus 440, I believe you said there, that just seems like, I understand he's up against six other Canadians, right? But to me, that seems like Nick Taylor, that's a no-brainer bet. I guess, like, maybe Adam Hadwin, he's been playing pretty solidly as well. Could be sort of your other thought there. But, I'd be definitely down to bet on Nick Taylor for that, without question.
And Adam Hadwin, 100-1 right now on FanDuel, and certainly motivated after not winning last season on the PGA Tour to get back in the winner's circle. A lot of big things going on this year, too. The Olympics, President's Cup, Adam Hadwin, a very motivated player. So we've spoken at length throughout the first 90 or so minutes of this show about players to bet, players to look at this week. But if you had a favorite bet for you personally, Hound Dog, what would it be?
Well, I'll do a shameless plug here for my on social media, TikTok, Twitter, and Instagram. For my All Bets Par Off series, Adam Scott, I pick five players every week. And Adam Scott was one of the ones I picked for a top 10, plus 800. Past champ, I know it was 20 years ago. Which is crazy to think it's already been 20 years. Past champ, but up until a miscut last week, he had seven straight top 20s, including five top 10s. So for a guy, you know, fairly comfortable in this course and, you know, had some success in the past and playing pretty darn well, plus 800 for just a top 10, I think that's pretty good value.
I think that's pretty good value, too. And perhaps in commercial, we might take a little a gander down FanDuel. I had a look at that. Plus 800 for Adam Scott. That's pretty good. Pretty good. Okay, so TPC Sawgrass is known, obviously, for the 17th hole, one of the most famous par threes, one of the most famous holes in the world. But just curious, in your mind, Michael, what are your thoughts on the hole itself and where it's situated on the golf course as the second last hole?
I think it's perfect. I mean, obviously the hole is amazing and so much drama, potentially. I mean, a lot of times, let's be honest, if the wind's not blowing, it's pretty simple for the players, right, for the most part. But that, if it was, say, the fourth hole or something like that or whatever, that on the golf course, it wouldn't have the drama that encapsulates the hole, right? The fact that it is to end the round. Some rounds have, you know, were so strong going to the last three holes, and then it was a complete meltdown by the players, which was very entertaining. The only – I remember years ago, I think it was 1998, a long time ago now for your listeners, but – the green was so baked on the Sunday. Like, it was hitting the front of the green, and then it was rolling off the back, the balls. That was ridiculous. So if it gets to that point, or a couple of years ago, I know it was, like, crazy windy to the players where it's just so random, their shots. I don't love that as much, but I love that. I think it's amazing. The final three holes are, in my opinion, the best three finishing holes in golf, really.
Yeah, that's where I was just going to go next, because you have the 16th hole, a risk-reward par 5. Then you have the 17th hole. Obviously, we just spoke about it. And then the 18th hole, where if you miss it left, well, you're in the water. And if you miss it right, you're in trees. And we recall when Rory McIlroy won this in 2019, he hit a great drive on the 72nd hole with a driver. When Justin Thomas won this in 2021, he was playing this intentional snap hook 3-wood off the tee that almost cooked too much over to the left, and it barely stayed alive. How much do you like this closing stretch in terms of drama as a viewer at TPC Sawgrass? We're losing Hound Dog here. Looks like the reception, well, it was pretty good. Pretty good, Chris, for the most part. Yeah, pretty good for most of the show. But I think we're going to let Hound Dog go after that with the reception. Not so good, but hey, sometimes the phone lines, they don't work to the best of our abilities. I know Michael really wanted to talk about Tiger Woods. We'll talk Tiger the next time Michael is on the show, hopefully previewing the Masters, where hopefully Tiger Woods is back in the field. Now, Tiger not playing this week. Definitely a surprise that Tiger Woods not in the field, given the schedule that he spoke at length about late in 2023, how he wanted to play one tournament a month in 2024. So you would have thought the Genesis Invitational, you would have thought this week at the Players, and then one major a month for the next 4 months, that being the Masters, the PGA Championship, the U.S. Open, and the Open. Tiger not playing this week. Tiger apparently looked good in the Seminole Pro Member. That was last Monday, and I know I understand that was in a cart, but no Tiger Woods this week. We'll discuss Tiger with Michael the next time he is on the show. He also sent me some of his long shot picks, and we went back and forth on Twitter. This was leading into the Mexico Open at Vedanta, I believe, where on Twitter, Mark Sacchino gave one, I gave one, Michael gave one too, and here are his long shot picks this week and their odds. Nick Taylor at 120-1. You may remember when Nick Taylor won the WM Phoenix Open, his odds to win were 170-1 on FanDuel. So Nick Taylor, 120-1. Erik van Rooyen at 120-1. Now, Mark Sacchino almost picked Erik van Rooyen. That's a lot of value, 120-1. Here's a guy playing a lot of great golf right now, won during the fall portion of the schedule. 120-1 for Erik van Rooyen. Jake Knapp, how about these odds? 170-1. This guy won a couple weeks ago on the PGA Tour. Oh, by the way, I did have him on my team that week. I'm actually leading our PGA Tour picks leaderboard so far. Haven't had to say that for a couple of years. Jake Knapp, 170-1. And Michael also likes, as a flyer, Luke List, 200-1, those odds. Long shot, but hey, 200-1. It's been the year of the long shot, so why not? And last week, the first week we have seen the favorite win all season on the PGA Tour. Scottie Scheffler's pre-tournament odds last week were plus 650 on FanDuel. Previous to Scheffler, the player with the lowest pre-tournament odds to win that week, Jake Knapp at 40-1 at the Mexico Open at Vedanta. It's going to be a fun week at the Players' Championship. Thanks again to Michael Harrison for joining us. Too bad the reception wasn't amazing, but next time I'm sure it'll be better. When we come back here on GTC, we'll wrap up the show. We'll give you an update on when you can see us throughout the day here on TSN, and we'll tell you how you can win a pair of Adidas golf shoes. All that, much more, coming up next right here on Golf Talk Canada.
This segment of GTC, presented by Picton Mahoney Asset Management, was brought to you by Cadillac's all-electric vehicles that get you in the game. Choose from a $750 credit with Flow or installation of a Level 2 home charging capability from Qmerit when you purchase or lease a new Cadillac Lyriq. This is Golf Talk Canada, presented by Picton Mahoney Asset Management. This segment of GTC is brought to you by Adidas Golf. Looking to refresh your golf wardrobe this season? Adidas carries the latest golf styles and technology, built for on and off the course. We encourage you to express your style through every swing. Visit adidas.ca/golf to explore more.
Welcome back inside GTC. Adam Scully here in studio as we preview this week's Players' Championship. Looking forward to seeing the action throughout the week right here on TSN, TSN Plus. Well, how would you like to win a free pair of golf shoes? If you're watching us on TSN 2, you'll notice a pair of shoes here in front of me. These are the all-new Adidas Tour 360 24 golf shoes, and we're giving a pair away. So how do you win? That's the big question. All you have to do, subscribe to our YouTube channel, Golf Talk Canada, TV and radio, and you're in a draw to win these pair of golf shoes, the same golf shoes worn by Team Adidas, guys like Nick Taylor, Colin Morikawa, Ludvig Åberg. They are great shoes. All you have to do, subscribe to our YouTube channel, and you'll be in a draw to win these golf shoes. We'll be announcing a winner very soon across our social media channels. Well, it's time now. Let's give our PGA Tour picks this week for the Players' Championship. And I'll give you Mark's, I'll give you Bob's first. Obviously, they're not here with me. Mark and Bob, they both like Scottie Scheffler at plus 550. They both like Minwoo Lee, going with the value there, plus 5,500 for Minwoo Lee. Some big value for him. Mark, as he spoke about earlier in the show, Will Zalatoris is on his team, plus 3,300. As for Bob, right now, Hideki Matsuyama is the third member of his team, plus 3,300 as well for Hideki Matsuyama. He's won already this season at the Genesis Invitational. Hideki Matsuyama is Bob's third pick. As for me, you guys know me. Sometimes I like to have some different picks. I do not have Scottie Scheffler on my team, as I spoke about with both Graham Dillette and Michael the Hound Dog Harrison. Plus 550, nuh-uh. I am not touching those numbers for Scottie Scheffler this week. Perhaps later in the tournament, if they stretch to, say, plus 1,500, but plus 550, in my mind anyway, far too short to bet any player pre-tournament on the PGA Tour. So my picks, some value, a little more. Justin Thomas and Max Homa are my first two picks, both plus 2,500. Justin Thomas won this tournament 2 years ago. Two finishes of T6 or better. Two finishes of T12 or better this season. Here's a guy trending in the right direction big time. Justin Thomas, plus 2,500. He is on my team. Max Homa, T8 last week in his last two appearances here at the Players' Championship, a T6 and a T13. Max Homa is my second pick. And my third pick, Sam Burns, four top 10s in his last five starts, was well on his way to another top 10 last week at Bay Hill, 78 on Sunday, derailed those chances, plus 4,000 for Sam Burns. I like that value. So my team, Sam Burns, Max Homa, and Justin Thomas. All right, well, that wraps up our first leg of our GTC triple header. Today, we are back again, 1 p.m., TSN 5, and you can also watch us at 5 p.m. on TSN 2 for a full preview of this week's Players' Championship. Thanks so much to Mark Sacchino, Bob Weeks, Graham Dillette, and Michael the Hound Dog Harrison for joining us. We will be back next week for a full Players' Championship recap special first on the TSN Radio Network on Monday at 10 a.m. till noon, and then again next Tuesday night on TSN, and next Wednesday on the TSN Radio Network, and then on TSN Television. It's been a fun one today. Thanks so much for joining us, and remember, the first good decision for the golf course always starts in the closet.
This segment of GTC, presented by Picton Mahoney Asset Management, was brought to you by Adidas Golf. Looking to refresh your golf wardrobe this season? Adidas carries the latest golf styles and technology built for on and off the course. We encourage you to express your style through every swing. Visit adidas.ca/golf to explore more. Thank you for listening to GTC. Don't forget to follow us on Twitter and Instagram at Golf Talk Canada and subscribe to our YouTube channel. For show archives, podcasts, and all things GTC, visit GolfTalkCanada.com. And don't miss Golf Talk Canada Television, weekly on the TSN Television Network.